And welcome to Chiefs Live. Mitch Hultus with you along with the snapper, Kendall Gammon. It's time to break this streak, man. It's time to just win a game, J-Wag. Okay, J-Wag, just win a game. Last week you went Big Earl on me.
No Big Earl this week. And they did go Big Earl last week, and you ran the Wildcat numerous times, and you had some success with some things, but for whatever reason didn't work out.
You know what? I'm going to give a shout out to the fans this week. I got to get you to the Chiefs Kingdom show on Monday nights. And people give me kind of some crud about talking about the snowstorm Sandys and the Susie Bling Blings.
I've been out there. Those are good
Firehouse
people.
Firehouse Matt, KC Chief, KC Chef, I should say, the Queen of Hearts. I'm just saying this about the fans. They are loyal. They want this team to turn around, and yet... And I talked to a guy just today who has got a 90-year-old father who just lives with the Chiefs, dies with the Chiefs, and he said, can you get this turned around so that you can bring back some happiness to his life? So, okay, we'll just go J-Wag. Just win a game and try to do it on Monday Night Football. But there was some news Monday to start the week. Some big news. Actually, several pieces of news that we need to deal with. And the first was Romeo Crennel making an announcement that he's going to make adjustments on the staff. Your thoughts about him stepping down as defensive coordinator and Gary Gibbs taking that role?
Well, it's interesting, and maybe you could see it coming, because at this point, when you're not winning games and you're not getting it going, you start to, I'm not going to say grasp, but you start to think, okay, let's try something else. Let's try to shake things up a little bit. And he talked about that. He made mention of the fact that maybe there's some perception that he doesn't pay attention to the offense as much as he does the D. I would disagree with that. But the fact is, if you can send a message to the team that, okay, you've got somebody focused on the defense and I'm going to focus on the rest of the team, I think that's an okay move. Did I think it was too much for Romeo? No, I did not. But the fact is, he's made the decision, and I think it's a good one to try to shake things up a little bit. And he continued to shake things up, didn't he?
Well, you're 1-7. We'll get to that in a second. But let's hear first. And Romeo told me last night on the Chiefs Kingdom show that he really was contemplating it for a while but made the decision over the weekend. After the short week, they had a long weekend, and he decided to pull the trigger on him handing the defensive coordinator role to Gary Gibbs. But here's the way the Chiefs started the week with Romeo Crennel.
I've decided that I'm going to spend more time with the whole team and less time with the defense and see if that can make any difference to our team. And in the meantime, Gary Gibbs, he'll take over the responsibility for being the defensive coordinator, and he'll run the defense. I will continue to be in meetings sometimes. I'll meet with Gary on a regular basis, as well as I do with Brian and Tom, to know what the game plan is, what's going on there. But I'm going to spend more time with the whole team and less time with the defense. You know, we have a young team, you know, and some guys, their perception, all right, may be that I'm a defensive coach, I'm a defensive coordinator, and I don't care about other parts of the team, which is not true, all right, but their perception may be that. So by my being with them more, then I think that they will see that I'm concerned about the whole team, which I am concerned about the whole team, but my body presence and my physical presence, you know, in different meetings and with the coaching staff and things like that, hopefully that'll help.
The National Football League, to be a head coach in this league, has become so complex, and even just the last 5 to 7 years, how it's changed so much. I'm not surprised by this move at all. You're a CEO, basically, of your own kind of multi-million-dollar company. If you think about all the people you have to manage, so people can say, why didn't you start the season like this? We don't have answers for that. But what we do have is him making a move to be more of a comprehensive CEO, at least from a standpoint of perception within the
fort. Yeah, and what he talked about and what we talked about beforehand is the fact of, I think he's trying to send a message that, again, he's got his thumb on the pulse of everything going on, and I think it'll be interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, especially on Monday night, but him going about his business throughout the week, and like you said, if the perception is there that he wasn't doing things the way maybe some players would like, well, it won't be there anymore, but I like it. I like the fact that, again, I don't think it was too much for him. I'm not going to back off of that. I don't think it was too much for Romeo. He is a heck of a defensive coordinator. That's been proven throughout the years. But the fact is, if it makes a difference, and at this point in time, you're trying anything to make that difference.
It's an accomplished defensive staff because it begs the question why Gary Gibbs is defensive coordinator. Romeo dealt with it last night on the Chiefs Kingdom show. Gary now is a past defensive coordinator in this league. He was head coach at the University of Oklahoma. He's got Anthony Pleasant as a defensive line coach on this staff. And he's got Emmett Thomas, the Chiefs Hall of Famer, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, who has been actually an interim head coach with Atlanta, defensive coordinator and assistant head coach. But the tiebreaker here, in the words of Romeo Crennel, was the fact of Gary's background in the 3-4 defense. Your reaction to Gary Gibbs taking over the DC role?
Well, I think it makes perfect sense. And when you look at those things right there, he's been a defensive coordinator. And I think the 3-4 defense, the experience there, is the big differentiator. And it will be interesting to see because no two people are alike. So you're going to see different things from him. It will be a different flavor that you get from the Chiefs defense this week, and that's something that quite honestly the Pittsburgh Steelers will have an issue dealing with getting ready for, because while they can look back a while back, they can't look at the film this year under him as a defensive coordinator, and they'll do some different things. It's just naturally going to happen.
Those weren't bad Saints defenses either that Gary Gibbs was able to coordinate. Well, it wasn't the only big news yesterday at One Arrowhead Drive. The other big piece of news was the fact that the Chiefs waived Stanford Rout, their starting right cornerback, who they signed as an unrestricted free agent in the offseason from the Oakland Raiders. Your thoughts on the move to waive Stanford Rout?
Well, what comes to my mind is a few weeks back when they changed quarterbacks and you talked about sending a message. Well, that may have sent somewhat of a message, but if anything, send a message right now, it's that no one's safe. And with letting Stanford Rout go, that lets you know your starting quarterback there, and of course, was out with a hamstring injury this last week, but certainly things not going as he would like. I don't know. We'll have to hear more from him and how that goes, but again, it sends that message.
It does. What comes to mind of me is the 62-yard touchdown against Tampa Bay. He was not ready at the snap.
Right.
The Buccaneers quick snapped him, and they get a play when it's 0-0 to in that game as Josh Freeman had the touchdown pass. Now, Rout did have two interceptions this year for the Chiefs, but Kansas City makes this move to waive the veteran cornerback. So, what did Romeo Crennel say about that move yesterday?
You know, sometimes you have relationships and you try to try to make them work and hope that they'll work and anticipate that they're going to work. But this relationship wasn't progressing as quickly or as fast as I wanted it to. And so we decided to make the change. And so we released him today, and other guys on the team are going to have to step up and move forward with that. You know, I've said all along that he is trying to learn the system and trying to adapt. And he was making some progress at that, but I needed it to be faster. I thought it was going to be faster, and it wasn't happening, so made the move.
That begs the question, now what? So we get an answer, really, was the scheme used in the San Diego game where Javier Arenas took over as the number one right corner in the base defense. Then Javi moved inside when they went to a nickel, and Travis Daniels moved to the outside. So your thoughts to that being, well, actually, Jaleel Brown will get a shot
right
on the outside along with Travis Daniels as they kind of Jaleel tries to stay healthy on this team in his second year and played a lot of corner, of course, in the preseason and in St. Joe. What about Javier in the base? And what they do on nickel dime?
Well, certainly Javier in the base, he's got the most experience, so that's what you're going to go with. I think Jaleel Brown would be in the mix a little bit more if it weren't for the groin injury. You saw him a lot in training camp and in the preseason games. I think you would have seen him out there some in place of rotating with Travis Daniels, however they want to do it, had he been completely healthy. But time will tell if he gets another week this week. But the thing that comes to mind for me, Mitch, is the fact that to me, you've only got three true corners on the defense. I know Travis is there to a degree, but
more of a safety.
Yeah, absolutely. He's kind of a hybrid, and not to say that he can't do the job, but you do have issues there, so it makes it interesting. Now, again, you've got a new defensive coordinator. What's he going to do? You've got new personnel. These are things, again, I keep alluding to it, but I'm hoping that this will make a difference, is how do the Steelers deal with it? It's things they haven't had to deal with as of yet, don't have on tape to see.
We know this. Javier Arenas is fearless. This is a guy that barely survived the Tuscaloosa, Alabama tornado. So he has actually seen death in the face. But Javi, that changed perspective on life. But the way he plays, we've seen it on punt returns, the way he plays defense, Javier is fearless, and he's ready for the challenge.
They called me to go out there and start at corner. I'm excited about it. I'm ready to fulfill that opportunity. And that's the only thing I can worry about. I can't worry about nothing else around it. What other guys are doing, who was there before me, who's going to be there after me, who's on the other side. I control what I'm doing, and that's all I'm focused on.
Were you surprised by the news about Stanford?
Yeah, I was very surprised, to be completely honest with you. But it kind of threw me off guard, but I got to get back on my feet and go handle my job point blank.
What kind of guy was he in the locker room?
Great guy. You know, great teammate, you know, from my perspective. I talked to him. We were cool. You know, we talked about adjustments, things like that. So, you know, I like him. I like him a lot. He's a cool guy. I personally think he's a good football player, you know. So, but what's happened has happened. And, again, I have no type of control over that. So I could just control what I do.
How excited are you? This is an opportunity that you haven't been given in 3 years.
Yeah.
You got started.
Yeah, man, it's a very, very good opportunity. I'm very excited about it. So I'm going to go out there, like I told the guys before, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to just compete, you know, do what I'm asked. I'm not going to go out of my way and try to do anything fancy. That's not the type of player I am. I'm going to get it done type player. You know, whatever you're asking me, I'm going to play that technique. I'm going to do that job. You know, and I'm going to have fun doing it too for the most part.
National champion at Alabama gets a shot. We'll see what he does with it. I want to ask you about corners in general. You played in this league for 15 years. I was fascinated in a conversation last night in the Kingdom with Romeo Crennel because I asked him about, to me, corners are fighter pilots. There are dogfights going on the outside of every play, and this week you got to be ready to fight those dogfights because here comes Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown and those great receivers, Jericho Cotchery, that they've got. What about corners? What about Javier Arenas? What about a guy like Brandon Flowers and those dogfights on the outside?
Well, you're exactly right in terms of they're on an island and it's visible every time. And when you make a mistake, it's visible to the point of the worst case is a touchdown you give up. And you've got to be ready to come back the next play, the next series, and get things done. What I saw in Javier there in that interview, though, it was a guy that's very sure of himself, but not overly sure. You have to. Corners, I think, in this league have to have an arrogance, a swag about them to a certain degree, and you want that because if you don't, you're never going to survive out there because the fact is the best corners in the league still get beat, and you've got to come back and make plays. So it will be interesting to see. Brandon Flowers, you've seen some of the things he's done. He's made some textbook interceptions this year, running with guys stride for stride. They stop on a dime. He stops on a dime, gives them 9 cents change, and takes the ball away. So he's done some good things as well, and that's certainly the type of cornerback that you want on the team and the kind of cornerback you want to be leading your secondary.
And Flowers is a little bit of a personification of your confident, not cocky
no
type
question.
Approach because he's not come across that way in the locker room or
no.
any part of One Arrowhead Drive. Another roster move yesterday. This is a renaissance of sorts. Pull back the calendar to 2010 because the roster move of waiving Stanford Route was filled by signing Sean Smith, one of the more popular Chiefs of the 2010 season. And here he comes, ladies and gentlemen, Sean Smith. Number 90 is back on the team.
Well, a native of Wichita Heights High School in Wichita, Kansas, near my old stomping grounds. You know, he knows the system. He knows what's going on. I think he'll be comfortable with that. And not that this is a big deal, but I'm going to tell you right now, if there is ever a time you could maybe use a little levity, this would be it, and maybe loosen the team up a little bit. This is a guy that has always been known as a jokester. Now, when I say that, the big thing is performance, and he can perform. He knows what's going on. He's been in this league a long time. I like the idea, and certainly you had to get somebody to replace Dorsey to give you to give you the depth on the defensive line side of things.
And Sean, as we all know, will go for it. He'll grab anything he can get. Now, the situation with Smith, I was asking Romeo last night on the Kingdom, they plan to use him on the outside, but
yes.
He does give you some versatility because he has played that zero technique nose guard, but he's also played that outside position in the 3-4.
He has, and I think that's good. At the size of guy he is, but not as tall, he's got that leverage point over there. But again, I've seen Toribio out on the outside a couple of times too, I believe. But you've seen different people in different positions. The defensive line right now, the way they've been beat up a little bit this year, I think you see guys all over the place, and they've got to continue to mature and get better, and hopefully he will be a big cog in that right now.
We keep giving you Big Earl references. Just go on Netflix and rent it. One of the great movies of all time with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson because you went Big Earl last week.
I did.
Really, Big Earl is back in the Chiefs locker room because Sean Smith is back, and he's happy about it.
It's good to come back to a place where everybody wanted me to come back to, so it should be good. See, so yeah, I knocked a little rust off today in practice. A few more days, knock some more off, and I should be ready to play on Monday.
Do you have any idea, you know, how much you'll play or, you know, or you have to ease into it, obviously?
I mean, this is year number 10 for me. I ain't no much easing to get into it. You know, sign me to do a job, help, about. Also be a leader. I think I'm the oldest guy on the team now, so I'm like the grandfather right now. Just try to provide some leadership and just help some of these young guys and, you know, try to get things turned around these last eight games.
Sean, were you kind of keeping track? I mean, did you watch what's kind of been going on here with this first eight games?
Most definitely I have. I mean, I wanted to come back here, so I've been talking to that. Also, I was talking to Romeo. I still talk to Romeo probably about once a week or once every other week, talk to him and, you know, still encourage him. You know, he'll tell you, I tell him I'm ready to still play. And he said the time when it comes, it'll come. And this was the time, right time.
Yeah, we all lost track. This is a young team. So here, he said he's grandpa coming in, but there is an element. What about the element of the experience that he's got in this league?
I think that's very good about that. And I like the fact also that, you know, he's been out for a while. So if there's ever a guy that wanted to get back in, prove himself, it's the 6'2", 320-pound guy, as you see right there. Eight NFL years experience. Yeah, normally that's not grandpa. Normally that's a little bit different. So
that's an older uncle.
Exactly right there. So and the crazy uncle.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting, but hopefully he will provide some much-needed spark to that defensive line.
And did help this team in that division run.
Certainly.
Toward a championship in 2010. All right, we've got to revisit it. We've got to go back to the San Diego game. And to give you another movie reference, sorry to say, this was like Groundhog Day. We needed the 6 o'clock in the morning. You hear Sonny and Cher come on, but not to make levity of it, but this game was disappointing. Kansas City, again, had a chance to win this game, 10-6, late in the third quarter. Let's revisit the San Diego game and overall your thoughts.
You know what? It was too bad because you have a chance to do some good things. Now, the one issue that's been really plagued the Chiefs this year is the other team coming out and scoring on that first drive. 4 of 8 games this year, they've scored touchdowns, and you see it happens right here on this first drive as well. But what was so frustrating is when you come back and you get the drive like Kansas City does, and again, that was something, as you see Gates go in for a touchdown right there. Gates hurt us for a half last week, or last game rather, also. But again, what did we talk about? Was this 15-play drive?
17, I
guess. 17-play drive. I mean, those don't happen very often. Then to happen, what happens with the fumble by Bo, it's just you invent new ways of things to happen. It's just so disappointing because you're driving and you've taken a lot of time off the clock.
And here you see the ball come out as he was trying to dive for extra yardage, but still 4 more giveaways in this game, 4 of them. Now, it was good to see Eric Berry. We saw him get burned for the touchdown against Gates, but this was good to see. The interception at the end of the half, Eric's first interception of the year.
Well, and we talked about it. Phillip Rivers is going to give you one or two chances always to get your hands on the ball. Right there, he was getting pressure. That was a big deal. That's what we talked about coming in the game. If you put pressure on Phillip Rivers, you have a chance to make him put some balls in the air that you can go get, and that's what happened right there.
And here, Eric Weddle fumbles the punt. Great opportunity for Kansas City. Look, early third quarter, down 10-3. This is a golden opportunity missed. Again, the Chiefs are last in the NFL in red zone touchdown efficiency. They don't get anything out of the drive. They miss this field goal that ends the streak by Ryan Succop. So you get the fumble punt late, and yet you don't score.
Well, no, you don't. And that's disheartening because points are few and far between right now. But, again, you saw some good things that the Chiefs were doing. As you see that run right there, I think Jamal's longest of 15 yards. And really, people putting their foot in the ground and making some positive yardage. But when it came down to it, you just weren't making plays. You couldn't put things together. Again, you see Matt scrambling and wisely getting down. But, you know what? It's a head scratcher because you're doing some good things coming into the game, establishing the run. That was a big part of what they wanted to do, and they did it to a degree.
Okay, this comes the critical part of the game to me. Look, it is late in the third quarter. It is 10-6. It's less than a one possession game. If you get a touchdown, you take the lead. San Diego on an 8-play drive. This is the way they culminate the drive. But what got me, Kendall, was 7 running plays. Prior to that, they ran the ball 7 straight times. The Chiefs were stopping the run in the first 4 games of the season, but San Diego just kind of willed that drive together.
Well, it is. And then when it gets followed up by this, and you know, fumble in your own end zone, and you get beat off the right side where you should be stout, you had an extra lineman in there. We all know this. Matt knows this. Everybody knows this. This can't happen. I mean, this is a killer. Like you said, you're still in the game even to that point. But, again, just what can go wrong does go wrong there. Ball goes through Dexter's hands, and it's returned by a former Chief, DeMario Williams. It broke the game open in a game that actually was a game for three quarters.
Yeah, and this, again, the frustration, and that ball needs to be caught. Let's be honest about it. And a point of pride for DeMario Williams to get that interception return. Here's a nice wheel route. The Chiefs do come back, getting the ball to Sean Drone, and then Drone able to get his second touchdown of this season. But too little too late. The Chiefs, again, had a chance to win this game. There's a look at the statistics. But the big number again, and this is where the Groundhog Day comes in play, four turnovers, minus two in the ratio. So, again, the Chiefs are challenging an all-time NFL record, not only in the ratio but total turnovers. That's now 29 giveaways. We mentioned it's got to stop. Good as time any on Monday Night Football to stop it against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, reaction in the locker room. You played this game. It's easy to get fractured in a locker room at this point. Easy to get frustrated. Everybody's frustrated in the Chiefs' kingdom. That's why I started the show with the fans. But somehow a locker room has to stay together. How do you keep it together?
You know what? You just have to continue to talk with each other and understand what's going on. And I was in there, Mitch, after the locker room, right after it. And it's not fractured. So if people are wondering, it's not. Now, are people frustrated? Yeah, they are frustrated, and rightly so. But the fact is, those 53 guys inside the locker room, that's all they've got right now. And they've got to rally. You've got now a new defensive coordinator. You've got a different person starting at cornerback. You've got a few different wrinkles. You've got to rally around that and get ready for Monday night. And you talked about the turnovers. When you're minus 20 in the turnovers for the year, like you said, that's epic proportions. You gave up 17 points off of turnovers this last game. That can't happen. I mean, that right there is a differentiator, as you see right here.
Yeah, the Colts are the anomaly here. They're hot, and they're still minus 10 in the giveaway takeaway. The other three on here, we know what issues they're going through right now. But in the locker room, after San Diego, kind of echoes what you were saying. There is frustration, but this team somehow to this point has kept it together.
What's your attitude right now?
Yeah, you know, just sick. Sick, you know, getting beat like this, you know, and the way the season's going. Sick about everything, but, you know, I'm going to come back the next week and I'm going to continue to fight, but, you know, I want to win bad.
You feel like you could play against Pittsburgh?
Oh, yeah, I feel like I can still play, you know what I'm saying? Let's hope David Price clear me to play. I'll be fine. I'm ready. I'm fine right now. I just hope, you know what I'm saying, hope I keep my streak back from keep playing.
So what is it, a stinger?
I really don't know, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I never had this, what I had before, so until I really let you know what was going on, David Price will let you know what's going on because I really don't have no idea, but I'm fine right now.
It's frustrating because you put in all that work and you put in everything, and it doesn't seem like, for whatever reason, it's working. And I think that's the, you know, whether it's anger, I think it's more frustration for me. But if guys are angry, I understand. You know, I mean, that's to put in all this work and to turn out like this is not something that you even dream about. You know, you even fathom. I think when we started this season, I mean, the worst case you're thinking is, you know, something, you know, barely missing the playoffs or something like that. You know, that was the worst case scenario. And for it to have gone like this, and for it to take such a southern turn with something that it doesn't seem like, I know it's fixable, but it doesn't seem like, for whatever reason, we're able to grasp how to fix it, is just makes you want to pull your hair out.
We have to look at a midterm report card. Now, this is like me taking home my geometry midterm report card to my folks. I didn't want to kind of like, you want to look at that because I knew I was going to get nailed. But let's take a look at some things the Chiefs can work on to improve to try to get things going, starting with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we've mentioned some of these things in the past, but the red zone, the gold zone, or whatever you want to call it, inside the 30. Third down improvement. These are third and shorts now.
Yeah, third down. I mean, that's the one thing to stay on the field, and as you see here, not successful in these, and we're showing. That's the one thing. You've got to keep drives alive. And to that point, when you're not getting chunks of yardage and you're continually putting stress on yourself for these long play series, well, eventually you're going to have an issue. So you've got to make plays. And to this point on third down, the Chiefs haven't been making enough of them.
And you want it manageable. This is a third and nine chance to score again in the red zone. This is a double whammy there, but you can take a look. Time of possession's decent, third in the league, but the efficiency, not bad. That was started, that kind of was equity built in the first half of the season. But you look at points per game and then touchdowns. So the red zone and has got to improve. But it starts with the turnovers to me. You just got to quit bleeding turnovers. You got to go into the Pittsburgh game thinking start at zero. Just neutralize that battle and give yourself a chance to win.
Well, it is. You have the perfect analogy. It has been Groundhog Day. And it sounds simple to say, but it is. It's turnovers. I mean, when you're minus 20 for the year, well, then things aren't going to go well. And you cannot continually give the ball up, especially when you have good plays and you're getting yardage and then things go haywire or here in the end zone and you give up plays for touchdowns. I mean, the Chiefs have given up 104 points off of turnovers this year. I mean, it's just not the recipe for winning football.
And here you can just see it again. And this is the punt muffed late in the game by Dexter McCluster. A situation of trying to value the football and then try to take it away as well. And this is the first game against San Diego when that 17-point first quarter kind of doomed everything. So time to, again, try to refresh it, man, and go into Monday Night Football and figure out a way to move the ball without turning it over and valuing it in all three phases of the game. When we come back, we're going to take a closer look at the Pittsburgh Steelers and this Monday night matchup. There's a great history between these two teams on Monday Night Football. Kansas City is 22-16 on Monday Night Football. So, hey, fans, let's go. Keep those fists pumped. But we'll be back to take a look at the Steelers, your old team, after this.
I pull up to the game, and all I smell is barbecue. I see everybody with their jerseys on, just out tailgating. Everybody's yelling, honking their horns in their cars, offering me barbecue on the way before the game. I mean, everybody's just friendly. I mean, it's just a wonderful city to play football in, man. Our fans are good in the stadium and out of the stadium. They just treat everybody with respect, and you got to love that. This city is built like a family. This is a great place to be, and I love it.
Women, 40 years and older.
84.3%.
More women. Women, 40 years and older, are getting mammograms, which can save their lives.
84.3%. That is the average survival rate for Kansas and Missouri.
More women are battling this disease, and the survival rate is rising.
Help continue the trend. Join the Kansas City Chiefs, Hy-Vee, and the University of Kansas Cancer Center and schedule a screening today. It can save your life.
We have the greatest fans in the NFL. When things are going bad, you know they're still going to be on your side. You know they're always there 100%. We have the stadium filled every week, a sea of red. So it's a great thing that fans is that supportive of you, and you know that your stadium's going to be rocking week in and week out.
The Chiefs go to the national stage. It's one thing to play on Thursday night. It's quite another to play on Monday night. Your experience in playing on Monday Night Football.
You know what, it's always great. And as a player, you know that everybody is watching that game. And everybody, lots of people watch the Thursday games as well, but Monday night's a different animal. And you know that all your friends, relatives, mom and dad, not to mention your peers from other teams, nobody else is playing but you on that night. It's big.
Two of the better games the Chiefs have played in the last 4 years have been against the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2009, I'm going to do more on this later in the week on kcchiefs.com, but in 2009, Matt Cassel leads his furious comeback. Studebaker goes crazy. It's like, who's Studebaker? When he had those interception, two takeaways, including the 90-plus yard interception return. And then last year, the Chiefs had a chance to win this game. They defended the short field all night long, lose 13-9. They're playing a super football team in the Steelers. I'm going to get into my admiration for Pittsburgh here pretty soon, but this is a team the Chiefs have beaten recently and almost beat last year.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And what better place to – I mean, let's be honest. The Chiefs, People have been down on them. They're not. They're 1-7. What better way than to go out on a national TV audience and go and shock the world and do some good things? But again, you talked about the Steelers, and we watch them right here. Ben Roethlisberger and that Pittsburgh offense doing some good things. And you know what? It's things like that that can't happen. And when I'm not talking about the TDs, but I'm more talking about the chunk yardage, and that's something that they've done a pretty good job with this year. This guy, Heath Miller, 53 receptions for 384 yards, 6 TDs. He's going to be an issue. He's somebody that the Chiefs have to watch this entire game. We have been hurt by the tight end position throughout the year this year, so that's something that they're going to have to watch out for.
These guys, the admiration is they have injuries. Polamalu hasn't played much this year. They lost to Castro, mm-hmm. their first-round draft pick. Now, he could be coming back off IR at some point this season. They've lost a myriad of running backs. They just plug a guy in. Redmond looks good. And the New York – okay, they traveled the day of the New York game.
Right.
They traveled the day of the game to take the Giants. They're down 20-10. They come back to win that game on the road. This is a team you got to knock out. They're not going to beat you themselves.
Well, you're exactly right. They're coached very, very well. And you talked about Isaac Redmond, 26 carries for 147 yards and a TD. He has a 28-yard run at the end of the game to seal it. I mean, things like that you have to stop. And again, as you see here, breaking through it, he wasn't even the main guy that was running this year. He was. You had Mendenhall hurt, and you had another running back hurt as well. And you look at the Steelers' D, while they haven't forced the amount of turnovers that you normally see them, I believe with only 4 interceptions and maybe 4 or 5 fumbles, but they forced Manning, yes, that Eli Manning, into a 10-for-24, 125-yard game. They sack him twice. He has a 41-yard QB rating. That's the New York Giants. I mean, they've been pretty good as of late. This defense... for Pittsburgh, there's something to deal with. Dick LeBeau, the old coach, there when I was there, this guy knows what's going on. You're going to get a lot of course, it's a 3-4 defense. You're going to get a lot of disguised coverages, trying to confuse people at the line of scrimmage, and you'll see linemen drop out, all kinds of different things. But that defense in Pittsburgh is vaunted for doing some good things, and it's something to contend with.
Yeah, they've only taken it away 9 times this year, so this one's a bit of an anomaly. They love to take it away. Here they're haunting Tom Brady, but this is a Steeler team that can do, as you mentioned, a variety of things on defense. They just have a theme about them, and again, I'm going to talk about this more on Chiefs Brief on kcchiefs.com about what they do and how they really become a prototype for what the Chiefs would like to be, and here they get all over young Andy Dalton. But Mike Wallace, we're seeing some defensive things here. The game turns against New York when Mike Wallace runs a simple slant. Now, remember, they had the offseason issues. What are they going to do with him? Sign him, franchise designee. But when Wallace made that 60-yard play on a simple slant, he just runs by people. This guy can change the game in a second.
Well, he can. And you talk about the simple slant, or you talk about those little college screens they do out there. And that's something that Roethlisberger's talked about with their offense. And he kind of criticized it in terms of they're a little bit of a dink and dunk offense. But that dink and dunk's out there. And then when they run for 40 or 50 yards, in the book it goes down as a 50-yard pass reception to things of that nature. So they can't hurt you. They got big receivers who can run after the catch. And that's something that you've got to watch out for. They've not done the greatest job of protecting Roethlisberger this year, giving up 18 sacks. So if there's anything you may be hanging your hat on, you hope that maybe Tom Bahali and Justin Houston get to the QB and make a difference there.
Okay, it's a big challenge. Javier Arenas, any of the cornerbacks this week in trying to defend these Pittsburgh wide receivers. We had a chance to talk to Javier. What do you do with a guy like Mike Wallace?
You can, if you're going to be covering, say, Wallace, you're going to have to be good on your technique, right?
See, what's funny is you guys only know I covered him for 4 years before that at Ole Miss. He's a different player. He's in the NFL. He showed out. It's all good. I'm here, too. I'll cover him before. I covered the other guys last year playing against him. It's a different game, different year, new year. I understand that. But at the same time, this ain't a new walk for me. I've played against all of these guys, covered Wallace for 3 years, outstanding player. I know what type of player he is. I know what type of speed he has. I wasn't born yesterday, So I understand. I understand what I'm going against. I just got to go out there and play my ball.
When he was at Ole Miss and you were playing against him, he didn't have number 7 throwing the football to him.
No, he didn't. Funny you mention that, too, because he at Ole Miss, I guarded him on the go route, was running with him, and I felt his speed. The ball was a little underthrown, so he had to slow down a little bit, but I made a play on the ball. So I do understand his speed and, what you just mentioned, a different caliber quarterback throwing to him. That makes a huge difference, of course, because if you got 2 steps on the guys, he ain't slowing down. you know, for that football. But again, I covered him last year. I played against him last year. I played against Big Ben last year. So I'm just ready to go out there and compete again this year.
So people don't forget, and they don't have to go to Wikipedia, you played for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I did.
You played in a Super Bowl with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Kendall, I want you to comment. Some of the stuff I'm seeing from the 2012 Steelers team are some of the same characteristics you guys had. Things don't change for these guys.
No, they don't. They play tough, stiff defense. They've got a passing game that makes a difference, but it's their run game that makes all the difference normally. Now, that's not as much so this year, but they're still trying to get it going. But when it comes down to it, they've continued year in and year out to find the players and just continue that. I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I rate Kansas City and Pittsburgh in terms of the family-run organizations and the fan base and just how passionate they are for the game. I rate those two very, very close to each other. I feel lucky to have played for both organizations, quite honestly.
Similar market sizes, too, yes. Quite honestly. All right, let's take a look at where the Steelers are doing it the best in the league. Third down conversions, 51%. They actually throw the ball early on downs, but when they get to third down, they're doing it great. They hang on to the ball better than any team in the league, 17 five-minute drives. But here is the stat that I want to bring up and get your comment on. The Chiefs, we mention every week, need to get some big chunk runs. They got a couple-digit, double-digit runs against the Chargers. But look at this, only 17 20-plus yard plays allowed all year. That's runs and passes, and 16 and 10-yard runs allowed. That's the best in the league. How do you move the ball on these guys, and how do you get chunk runs?
You know what? You've just got to stick with what you know, and you've got to understand that you've got to keep chopping wood and go after it. The one thing that stands out to me, switching gears a little bit, is the fact that their offense stays on the field for almost a little over 34 minutes at a time. So it's going to be tough, but you've got to understand that you may not run the ball well on this team, and if you don't, you're going to have to make it through the passing game. And again, I say over the middle is where they're vulnerable, but again, when you get it, you've got to run for yards and you've got to hold on to the ball.
And Sean Smith's on this team. Remember, maybe he could play fullback.
There you go.
In the red zone. Remember that.
I like how you think.
Anyway, the one guy who has ties in this game to both teams, played for the Steelers and the Chiefs. It's Monday Night Football. We're going J-Wag, right?
Just win a game.
Just J-Wag, no Big Earl. Just going J-Wag for the fans. Let's shock the world on Monday Night Football. For Kendall Gammon, the snapper, I'm Mitch Holtis, the voice. That's our Chiefs breakdown, and thanks for joining us on Chiefs Live.